Royal Gelatin Hour, directed by Rudy Valley. Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Valley and Company, back at our familiar stamping ground in Radio City, New York. Our diversions for the next hour have in them a timely touch of spring, and our old friend Graham McNamee. The spring catalog, if you please, Graham.
These are the spring offerings for this evening. Colonel Lemuel Q. Stoopnagel.
One of our favorite clowns demonstrating the latest style trend in mangling the English language as if we needed someone else to do it.
Maxine Sullivan. And John Kirby's orchestra.
From the Onyx Club. Maxine is the young singer who started all the arguments about doing folk songs in swing tempo.
Jimmy McCallion and William Harrigan.
A famous boy actor from radio and a distinguished stage and film player in an unusual and appealing play.
Irving Caesar.
A great songwriter, creator of hits by the hundred, whose fancy turns this spring to a new and important sort of song.
Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou Barry.
With news of fascinating goings-on in Betty Lou's astonishing family.
The Connecticut Yankees.
Who celebrate their return to town by going to town with By Myself.
This is the end of romance. I'll go my way by myself. Love is only a dance. I'll try to apply myself and teach my heart how to sing. I'll go my way by myself like a bird on the wing. I'll face the unknown. I'll build a world of my own. No one knows better than I myself. I'm by myself alone.
Rumors to the contrary notwithstanding, Betty Lou Barry, one of the most popular of the nation's young ladies, still is only a voice controlled and operated by Tommy Riggs. Life has become rather exciting for Betty Lou these spring days. How, why, when, and what, and who we will leave to Tommy and Betty Lou.
Betty Lou, come here. You're late.
Yes, I know I am. So goodbye, Mr. Tommy.
Goodbye? You mean hello. You just came in.
Oh, well, hello.
That's much better.
Thank you. Goodbye.
No, wait a minute. Where are you going?
I have to get my suitcase.
Your suitcase?
Yes, so I have to go right away. Goodbye.
Now, just a moment, Betty Lou. Before you leave, will you please tell me where, how you're going, and why?
All at once?
No, just one question at a time.
All right, which one?
Well, first, where are you going?
Where can you go for 14 pennies?
14 pennies? Well, I guess you can take a nice long ride on the streetcar.
Does it go to Australia?
Australia? Why, Betty Lou, to go to Australia, you'll need about $800.
Oh. Well, will I have very much left out of the 14 pennies?
Well, not much, I'm afraid, but why do you have to go to Australia?
I don't have to go. I'm just going because I'm not going home anymore.
You mean you're running away from home, young lady?
Yes, I am. So there, too.
Oh, I see. Well, why aren't you going home anymore?
Because yesterday a new baby came to our house and I get the blame for everything.
A new baby? Say, I didn't hear about it. I'd better call your mother right away.
Oh, no, you don't have to. She knows about it.
Well, don't you like the little baby, Betty?
No.
Well, I'm surprised.
Why?
Well, don't you know that a baby is a bundle sent from heaven?
Well, I'll bet you I know why they sent him, too.
You do?
Yes, they couldn't stand all that noise he made up there.
Well, that's no way to look at it, Betty Lou. A baby is a wonderful thing. It brightens up the home.
I'll say it does. Daddy had the lights on all night last night.
Well, I'll bet it's a very cute baby, young lady, and you should be quite excited to have a new baby at your house.
Are all babies new?
Why, certainly.
Well, something must be wrong.
What makes you say that?
Because this is an old one.
An old one?
Yes, because it doesn't have any hair and it doesn't have any teeth, just like Granddaddy.
Ah, oh, me, Betty Lou, all babies look like that.
Like Granddaddy?
No, no. But tell me, what is it, a boy or a girl?
It's a boy and his name is Quits.
Quits? Are you sure that's his name?
Oh, yes, because Daddy said so. He looked at the baby and said to Mommy, "Hey, Ma, let's call it Quits."
Oh, me. Well, who does he look like?
I don't know for sure. He's all mixed up.
Well, just how do you mean he's mixed up?
That's what everybody said.
What did everybody say?
They said he's got Mommy's eyes, he's got Daddy's ears, and he's got Granddaddy's nose, too.
Well, let me tell you, Betty Lou, you're going to have a lot of fun with that new little baby brother of yours.
Oh, no, I'm not, because I'm going to Australia.
Oh, you still insist on going. Well, goodbye.
Huh?
I said goodbye.
Oh, goodbye. Mr. Tommy.
Oh, Betty Lou, are you still here? I thought you'd gone.
Well, how much is 14 pennies and a nickel?
Well, that's 19 cents.
Well, gee, I'd have 19 cents if you'd lend me a nickel.
Well, I'm mighty sorry, Betty Lou, but I can't finance any expeditions to Australia right now.
Oh, well, I guess 14 pennies will be enough, huh?
Certainly. You'll get along all right.
Will I?
Yes, but by the way, where are you going to sleep tonight?
Sleep?
Oh, well, I guess you can sleep in the park. Of course, it might rain, but what do you care? A little rain never hurt anybody.
You think it's going to rain tonight, huh?
Well, the paper says thunder showers.
Thunder showers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe if I sleep under a tree, I won't get wet, huh?
No, but there's always the danger of lightning striking the tree.
Didn't the paper say about lightning, too?
No, but lightning always goes with thunder, but you're not afraid, are you?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I didn't think so. Anybody who's not afraid to run away from home is certainly not afraid of lightning.
Oh, no. Well, I guess I'd better go, huh?
Yes, before it gets dark. You know, there's a lot of bad men who come out at night, and, well, you never can tell. One of them may take your suitcase.
Will they?
Yes, but I don't suppose you'll be afraid. You're a big girl, and... Ah, dear me, you're going to get a lot of fresh air in that park.
If it doesn't rain.
Well, goodbye, Betty Lou.
Goodbye. Oh, Mr. Tommy.
Yes?
Do those bad men always take little girls' suitcases?
Well, certainly, but if I were you, I wouldn't forget to say my prayers tonight.
Well, who will I say them with?
Oh, I forgot. You'll be alone, won't you? It's too bad your daddy won't be there to say your prayers with you.
Daddy? Yes, I always have to help my daddy say his prayers. He gets so mixed up. Maybe I better go home and help him say them tonight, huh?
Well, I think that's a fine idea. And incidentally, Betty, you didn't want to run away, did you?
No, but gee whiz. If only Mommy and Daddy hadn't brought home a new baby brother, especially after what I asked him to bring home.
Oh, so that's it. You wanted a baby sister.
And no, I wanted them to bring home the stork.
In and drove the shadows away. Love walked right in and brought my sunniest day. One magic moment and my heart seemed to know that love said hello. Though not a word was spoken, one look and I forgot the gloom of the past. One look and I had found my future at last. One look and I had found a world completely new. When love walked in.
Our Department of Information issues up-to-the-minute news. Critics were unanimous in their praise of a motion picture. Warner Brothers' Jezebel. This is Jezebel from Jezebel. William Harrigan, a fine actor from a famous theater family, won another set of remarkable press notices here in town, meaning New York, for his performance in Martin Berkeley's play, Rusty. So did Jimmy McCallion. Jimmy used to appear with us, but he's played his last little boy for us, because Jimmy has grown up to be an outstanding juvenile. Rusty is soon to have national circulation, having been purchased by MGM. This evening we have a radio version of the play, in which will appear William Harrigan and Jimmy McCallion. Jimmy is Rusty, son of a gangster named Stuff, played by William Harrigan. Stuff's gang has been broken up by federal officers. He is on the run, wanted for murder. A sympathetic judge has sent Rusty to a farm. He has been living in a new world for him, in charge of Ed Schuster and Ed's fiancée, Kate. Stuff makes his way to Wed's farm for a reunion with Rusty. And at the end of that day, with the family asleep, father and son are alone in the firelit living room, able to talk freely to each other for the first time.
Are they all asleep, Rusty?
Once Ed hits the hay, he don't budge.
Gee, it's good to see you, kid.
Took a chance coming here.
I had to see you.
Hey, but you leave yourself wide open. Them cops is liable to snoop in.
They been here yet?
No, but you never can tell. You gotta watch out, Stuff. Please, you can't let them get you.
You're still thinking of your old man, huh?
I knew you'd come. I knew you'd be coming after me.
It's been tough this time.
What's the matter?
Bumping off that cop was a mistake. They've been combing the country for me. Even Jenny wouldn't put me up. She said it was too hot. I stayed at Race till the arm got better.
Your arm?
Yeah, they winged me that night. Still a little stiff. Here.
Gosh, but you're all right.
Sure. How are you making out here?
Swell. I got a break, all right.
How come?
Well, I might have got with a guy who didn't care about nothing but the books and the work he could get out of me. But Ed's different. I go to school now.
No.
Teachers will be ready for college in 4 or 5 years.
You don't say.
Agricultural college. Ed wants to buy me a brooder. And with the incubator we already got, I could make $2 or $3 a week regular. That'd take care of it.
Gee, college. Hey, this fella Ed, he must be all right, huh?
Couldn't treat me no better.
And the others?
Everybody's okay, except Ed's mother. But she's on edge on account of you.
Me?
Yeah, she's afraid I'm going to be a... Well, she don't quite trust me.
Oh, she don't, huh?
She'll come around. Well, what are you going to do now?
Well, I thought I'd stay here for a while. How about it? I'll stick around for a couple of weeks, and then you get your things together, and we'll blow.
Where we go?
Oh, we keep moving.
We'll head west.
Maybe. Yeah. You want to go, don't you?
Sure.
Well, I kind of hate to take you out of school now that you got started. Maybe you better stay.
Now you're here and want me. I gotta go.
Well, if you gotta go, you gotta go.
Shh. Gee, Stuff. I better get to bed.
What's up?
Well, I gotta water the stock, feed my birds, and get the milking started before I go to school.
Gee, that sounds like a whole day's work, huh?
Yeah. You get used to it.
Hey, you like it here, don't you?
You said I did.
Better than with me?
Oh, Stuff.
Say, we used to have some swell times together. Remember, lambing all over the place after we nicked the roll? Say, we had some swell times.
Gee, if you had a farm, we could work it and I could go to school. It'd be the nuts. Ma would have liked that. Remember how she liked the farm?
Yeah.
I liked it being with her. She was full of laughs and used to fuss over us, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
She was like Kate, sort of.
Your ma was all right. What's the use?
We ought to have a farm.
What would I do with a farm?
Farm it. You can always eat when you own a farm. And if you got enough dough, you can work it scientific and make out.
Is that what you want?
Yeah.
Well, that'll be... Gee.
There's lots worse things than farming. When I look back to last spring, when there was nothing out there but forests, and think that the corn and taters have come up and been harvested, I feel good. I feel like I did something. I'm part of something now. I got a job.
Hey, this farming business, it's got you, ain't it?
Say, with the machines I got now, it's like running a factory. If things worked right, there'd be more than enough for everyone and nobody'd be without. This big change is coming.
Hey, maybe the school business is a bunk. Maybe you ought to get out of here.
No, I'm giving it to you straight. Kate's got the right dope.
Oh, which girl? So she's the one that's touting you off, huh?
Yeah, she knows everything. Sometimes she lets me read her own books. And she's got great ideas.
Yeah, Kate's all right. But just before dinner, the radio was on. I was dancing with her.
I know. I don't think she cared for that.
Huh? You sure?
Yeah.
Well, can you beat that? Who can figure a dame out, eh?
You'd better not dance with her.
Huh?
She don't know your kind of dancing.
What are you talking about?
Up here, we dance different.
Oh.
kind of slow.
Hey, you ain't handing me nothing.
No, it's just that, well, Kate ain't like Mary and them other dames. Well,
but she ain't. Kate's all right. Little stiff and delicate, but she's all right.
You've got to watch what you say to her.
Listen, kid, are you telling me how to talk to a dame?
She ain't no dame. Kate's, well, she ain't no dame.
Hey, what's got into you?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's what you always say to me. Nothing. Can't you talk? What's eating you?
You and stuff. Leave me alone.
Gee, I give up. Something's happened to you. They done something to you here.
They didn't do it.
Don't tell me you feel different.
I'm just...
You look at me funny sometimes. Like you didn't know me.
Oh, you're jittery.
Yeah, well, maybe so. Maybe I'm a little punch drunk from ducking them cops. It gets you in the head. Here. You keep shoving around, hardly talking to no one. Trying to remember what your new name is every time you register at a hotel. Worrying about lashing your roll. Worrying about the wise guy at the cigar stand. And all the time you keep thinking, there's 10 grand on you. 10 G's in the hot seat.
Wacky.
I drove by a station house. Once I stopped the car, I was going to give myself up. And I thought of you and knew I had to take my chances.
Gee, stop. I don't know what to say.
Oh, it was exciting at first. I was a somebody. The fat boys looked up to me. And there was a mob to boss and worry about. And I had to think of you, Mary, or some other dame. Now it's something else again.
Now there ain't no mob. I guess there ain't no way out.
No way but the hot seat. If I last that long.
Now, we're schmoozing like a couple of old ladies here.
Yeah, well, that's the picture.
Gee. Stuff?
I guess I'll be leaving soon. Are you coming with me? You want it, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I want it.
Well?
I...
Well, don't you?
It's hard to explain. All the time I've been here, I knew you was coming after me. Somehow I got to figuring what I'd do if you didn't.
Oh, sure. Sure, you always got to look out after yourself.
That's it. I got to thinking about myself. And I... Gee, Steph, I don't know how to say it. The way you were just talking, it started me thinking again. Before there was you and the mob, I was part of that. It was simple, like 1, 2, 3. Now there's other things. Work and school and what's going to happen with me. I was just a kid before. I didn't want nothing. But there's a lot I want now. There's things I gotta do. I don't know all the word stuff.
Are you really glad I come? Tell me the truth now.
I told you.
Come on, you better hit the hay. You're tired. Take it easy. We're together again. Nothing else matters.
No.
We'll start out together again, just like before.
Yeah, just like before. Well, I wish I could tell you...
Yeah?
I wish you could understand.
Huh?
Good night, Pop.
Good night, son. Yeah. I understand. Good night, Roosty. And goodbye.
WEAF, New York.
The Royal Gelatin Hour, Act Two, wherein there will be such seasonable items as Irving Caesar, who has new song patterns, Maxine Sullivan and John Kirby's orchestra turning springtime into swing time, and the vernal Colonel Lemuel Q. Stupnagel. When the history of radio has been written, when you and I, in our dotage, sit by the fire and read of the past, blazoned in screaming headlines will come before us the name Stupnagel, mighty inventor and mighty man.
Me, huh?
Oh, ho, 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 ho. For what Tome would not be proud to tell of the tales of daring, this prodigious behemoth of the airwaves?
Still me, huh? Oh, ho, ho, ho.
And so then, fully cognizant of the honor befalling me tonight, and humbly thankful for the rare privilege, I now give you that sparkling, scintillating genius of the ether, Colonel Lemuel Q. Stupnagel.
Gee, Rudy, you've got swell material tonight. I didn't know I had it in me. You know, after all these months, it certainly gives you a real warm feeling to be working with me again, doesn't it?
Well, Colonel, I must confess that your being here gives me a certain feeling of nostalgia.
Nostalgia, huh? So that's how you feel. After such a swell introduction, how a fella can turn on you like that is beyond me. Hey, what does nostalgia mean?
Homesickness.
Just what I thought. Homesickness, huh? Oh, homesickness. Oh, that's different. Say, tell me, Rudy, how did you find things? On the coast?
Not that I object particularly, Colonel, but what do you call that new way of talking?
I call it ski talk, Rudy.
Ski talk? S-K-I?
Yes, because it goes along straight and then suddenly it goes up. On the end?
What are you trying to put? Over on me?
Oh, Rudy, it's really something at all. I'd say six of one and a half. A dozen of the other.
Yes, I guess it is, Colonel. But where do you think all this silly talk will get us? In the end?
Well, I don't know about that, Rudy, but at least it's a change from ordinary, everyday conversation.
I see what you mean, Colonel. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
That's just what I don't mean. People have been saying it that way since the beginning of stuff. Now, my way, you take the same words, but you change the emphasis, and boom, you've got an entirely new and different same old proverb. If I know what you mean, and you think I do.
How about an example, Colonel?
Well, I'll use the same one that you just did. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Now, Colonel, this talk has gone far.
Enough?
No, let's have some more.
All right. Remember the old adage, he who hesitates is lost. Then there's the ever reliable, don't count your chickens before. They're hatched.
Oh, Colonel.
Yes?
Are you saving your money?
Huh? Ooh. I also... Thud. I also do it with poems. Now, you want to give me a poem, Mike? You know, sort of like a poem?
All right, now let's see. I've got nowhere to go till 9 o'clock anyway. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you.
Oh, Rudy. That has a sort of a lilt to it, Rudy, but listen. Roses are red violets. Are blue sugar. It's sweet and so. Are you?
Say, Colonel, I've been listening
don't
to that...
Don't step on our laugh. Don't step on our laugh.
...to that talk of yours, Norb, anymore. I've got a sensible message to impart.
Well, go ahead, Graham, and let your conscience be your guide.
If you want to give your family a treat tomorrow night, stop in at your grocer's and ask him what his most popular dessert is.
Ah, fudge.
No, now look here, Colonel. What have you been cooking? Up for me?
Oh, Graham, you're doing fine. And as a reward, you can play a part in my mix-up-a-roo.
Your what? Explain it to him, Colonel. What is a mix-up-a-roo?
Well, a mix-up-a-roo is a thing that has sort of a plot like, and when people start talking, well, you know, a mix-up-a-roo is suppose you're... All right, here we go. Rudy, you are the owner of a waterfront tavern frequented by seafaring men. You call the joint, or the place, you call it Snow White because it's right near Seven Wharves. Yes, yes. That was McNamee's line. He shouldn't have. Graham plays the part of a man from a fishing smack who catches eels, and me, I'm a sailor from a whaling vessel. As the scene opens, Rudy is standing in his tavern singing.
There is a tavern in the town, and there my lady sits down, and
my bonnie lies over the ocean, my bonnie lies over the sea, singing. My bonnie lies over the ocean, oh, bring back my... Hello there, innkeeper.
Hello there, sailor.
Had a lucky trip this time. Why, we harpooned a whale that gave us 500 barrels of oil.
Is that so?
Yeah.
I've been lucky, too. I harpooned a salesman that sold me 500 barrels of ale.
What a coincidence, fellas. I'm at the bar, too. I just caught 500 eels. By the way, my name's Allie. What's yours?
My name is Ole.
And mine is Eli.
Oh, fine. How about a picture of that good old Eli Yale?
A boola boola, boola boola, a boola boola, Eli Yale.
Delicious.
Terribly. Good? By the way, fellas, before I forget, I've got to be back at my ship by 4 bells.
By the time we finish the next pitcher of ale, it'll be 4 bells.
Oh, a 4-bell pitcher.
And,
woo!
And I do mean eels.
500 of them.
Drink up, lads. Here's to Eli also.
Skip the whaler.
Down the eel bowl. Boy, is that good. Delicious. Set up another round of eels.
Gee, some of Allie's ale goes fine with this oil.
Oh, you said it. Set them bar up, tender.
Oh, boy.
Boy, that's the best drink I've had in weeks.
Oh, we fly through the oil with the greatest of eels. There's daring young men on the fleeing trap ale.
Boy, don't forget, fellas, I absolutely got to be back at the boat by 4 pitchers.
Okay, Oily. We'll forget. Isn't it wonderful how much ale you can get from one whale?
My business has been catching and skinning oils. But sometimes I think I ought to give it up and go into the whale business. All you do is turn on the spigot and wham, out comes a glass of eel.
You know, Eli, that fella certainly got a head on it. Let's have another round of whales.
Here's a go.
Skull.
Skeel.
Scale.
Ah, boy. Ah. Delicious.
Remember, you guys, I got to get back to my tavern. It's nearly 4 eels.
Wait a minute. Let's have another oil.
Gentlemen, a toast. Alley to bed, oily to rise, makes a man eely, whaley, and...
How about a toast?
How about another round all around?
Now you're talking silly. And besides, you got to hurry or you'll miss my boat.
All right, then, tavern keeper, give me another drink.
Good. This one's on the house.
What eel is it?
Just a quarter past whale.
Gee whiz, it's pretty late. I've got to be staying.
My oil's waiting for me. I've got to get staying, too.
Say, Captain, isn't it about time this tavern put out to sea?
Yeah, Captain. Take your rail off that foot and get on the bridge.
Okay, me hearties. Ahoy the engine room. Full speed astern.
Attaboy, Captain. Now we're making time. What do we care if we are still attached to the dock?
A little more speed and pretty soon we'll be back on last week's program.
My tavern lies over the ocean. My tavern lies over the sea. My whaleboat is parked on the side street. Oh, bring back my Bonnie to me.
Of the past upon a foundation intended to last,
a nation fashioned through the ages, a never-ending history with ever-turning pages. So it goes on, age after age, each generation adding a page. They leave their mark and are gone, and so it goes on. Beggar or king, a link in the chain, things that they do forever remain. They leave their mark and are gone, and so it goes on. They who built before us gave us our land of today, left content that we would keep it that way. And so we go on, we of today, following those who showed us the way. We leave our mark and are gone, and so it goes on, on. Bring you up to date on a spring opportunity. Return to New York. Come in. We note that 52nd Street still is the swing center of our Dipsy Doodle nightlife. One of the most popular 52nd Street swing emporia continues to be the Onyx Club. Tonight, the Onyx Club is represented again by its current dance group, John Kirby and his orchestra, and by Maxine Sullivan, the young Negro singer from Pittsburgh, who is the most discussed swingstress of the moment. Maxine describes her doings with popular songs and old ballads as subtle swing. For a demonstration of subtle swing, here is Maxine Sullivan with John Kirby and his orchestra lavishing their swing subtleties on Bob White and Honeysuckle Rose.
I was talking to the whip. got a corny trill. My wife, what's cheerfulness sling tonight? And I was talking to the Mohammed bird. He says you are the worst that he heard. My wife, what's cheerfulness sling tonight? Even the owl tells me you're fine, singing those lullaby notes. But he's a bring down, he never could sling down. He ain't got my high notes. There's a lot of talk about you, boss. And they're saying that you're off the call. Take it, Mr. B, fake it. Follow me, far away. We're going to break it up tonight. Even the owl tells me you're fine, singing those lullaby notes. But he's a bring down, he never could swing down. He ain't got my high notes. There's a lot of talk about you, boss. And they're saying that you're off the call. Take it, Mr. B, fake it. Follow me, far away. We really broke it up tonight, boss.
Top of the evening at the Onyx Club is Maxine Sullivan swinging the old Scotch folk song, Loch Lomond. This specially has started a wave of folk song revivals in swing, and a wave of arguments. Some like their folk songs hot, some don't. Maxine sings her version of Loch Lomond, and they'll bear, they may.
Take the high road, and I'll take the low road. I'll be in Scotland afore you. But me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. By yon bonny banks and by yon bonny rays, where the sun shines right on Loch Lomond, where me and my true love were ever wont to gaze, on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. Oh, you'll take the high road and I'll take the low road. I'll be in Scotland afore you. But me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. From their greed.
You take the low road and I'll take the high
but
road.
But I'll be in Scotland for you. But me and my true love will never meet again. On the Bonnie Bank. On the Bonnie, Bonnie Bank. On the Bonnie, Bonnie Bank of Loch Lomond. Loch Lomond.
In no spirit of treason, we present Florida, the Moon, and You. It's heaven to be here with you underneath the moon in Florida. I love everything that you do. It's paradise here in Florida. Your smile, your size, your wonderful charms. Your lips, your eyes, your two loving arms. I love you, my darling, I do. Florida, the moon and you. To name a one-man society of authors, composers, and publishers, my nomination would be a short, dark, friendly young fellow with shell-rimmed glasses and an inevitable infectious enthusiasm. Here's Irving Caesar, songwriter by trade, and trade has been good with Irving for many years. He has written the lyrics for great shows such as No, No, Nanette, George White's Scandals, and several Ziegfeld Follies, sentimental sonatas like Just a Gigolo, Southern specialties like Swanee and Is It True What They Say About Dixie, which we introduced for Irving on this broadcast. And often he's had a hand in writing the music. For several years, he's been his own publisher. Distorting Shakespeare for our own purposes, I come to praise Caesar, not to bury him. For he's one of the liveliest gentlemen of the song circle. In addition to all his famous songs, he now turns his ability to the writing of songs of safety, songs teaching without pedantry the necessary gospel of safety, especially for children. Enter to the tune of one of his innumerable song hits, author, composer, publisher, and propagandist for safety, Irving Caesar. Irving, tell me, is it true what they say about Caesar?
Well, Rudy, if you mean that I've devoted myself to songs of safety, then it's true. I've dedicated such little talent as I have to try in song to save some little child's life.
Irving, how did all this happen? About the songs of safety, I mean.
Well, it all started early New Year's Eve last year. I was walking on Broadway. The street was jammed, and there were some kids going it alone, dodging in front of cars, getting out of the way of trucks, taking chances. And I thought, somebody ought to tell those kids to play safe. Well, it seemed to me that songs of safety might help a bit. Not exactly like the songs I was taught when I was a kid, you know. I put my left foot in, I put my right foot out.
Yes, I remember that one myself.
But nowadays, children are used to a different kind of song, like the ones they hear in movies and on the radio. I figured that songs of safety ought to be written in the rhythm the child is used to these days. So I made a New Year's resolution to write some.
You mean to say you kept a New Year's resolution?
Well, that's one I kept. The next morning, I went down to my office. I sat at the piano and figured my first safety song.
Words and music, Irving?
Well, that's how I write. I work at the piano, figuring out a rhythm. Then I get in a composer to help out with the tune. The fellow who wrote the music for the Songs of Safety is Gerald Marks. I like to write with Gerald, and I like to work on Songs of Safety. Honestly, Rudy, I get a big thrill out of them.
And they help to make up some of your past sins, like that little gem of yours, Oh, You Nasty Man.
Oh, now, wait. I've been trying so hard to live that down. But it's a fact, Rudy. The Songs of Safety are, well, they're a part of me. Still, most of my songs haven't been personal, you know, or autobiographical. Just because my girl didn't kiss me didn't inspire me to write a song called Why Didn't You Kiss Me Goodnight. It's not a bad title of that. Now, you take my song, T for Two. I thought that was a good title.
I wouldn't mind splitting the royalties with you.
Well, I had good luck with it, but actually, as you know, I'm not a steady tea drinker. Then there's a song of mine called Lady Play Your Mandolin. Rudy, I don't like the mandolin, and I never knew a lady who could play one. Another example, I wrote a song about a fellow who was very sad. You remember? Just a gigolo everywhere I go. Now, I ask you, do I look like a gigolo, Rudy, really?
Well, of course, appearances are deceiving. But, Irving, I'm happy to say that I can agree with the gentleman who said that Caesar was an honorable man.
Thank you. And being an honorable man, I might as well come out with it and confess that when I wrote the words of Swanee, How I Love You, How I Love You, you remember that song with George Gershwin, I haven't seen the Swanee River. But with these safety songs for children, frankly, I am quite serious. They are a labor of love. And you know how rare those things are. It's made me very happy that they've been endorsed and adopted by schools and safety organizations. And I'm thrilled by this great opportunity to have so many people hear a few of them tonight.
They tell me that your songs of safety are the first popular songs accepted by the Board of Education in New York. You ought to have a little pardonable pride about that.
Well, Rudy, as an honorable man, I have.
Can you put the idea of the songs in a few well-chosen words?
A few words and music. I've written a song to explain the songs. I call it my introduction. These songs were written for Johnny, be careful, whose father and mother are busy all day. Whose father and mother and sister and brother say, Johnny, be careful when you are at play. Dear little children, as you turn the pages, you'll also find songs here for Mary, beware. They say to Mary, be wise and be wary, and mother will never have gray in her hair. Each little song is a song with a lesson, and this is the kind of a lesson we mean. Stop, look, and listen when traffic lights glisten, and only cross streets when the red turns to green. Don't talk to strangers, and don't play with matches. These new little songs know the right from the wrong. So learn while you're singing, and sing while you're learning, and you will grow up to be healthy and strong.
And that, Irving, should make it clear to all the Johnny Be Carefuls and Mary Bewares. As I understand it, not all of your songs of safety are about looking out for automobiles and being careful around trains.
I suppose many people do think mostly about traffic when they hear about safety. But do you know, Rudy, serious as traffic problems are, most of the accidents take place in the home. Ever get your fingers burnt, Rudy?
Is it clubby of you to bring that up here?
All right. No, I mean with hot water, of course. Did you ever turn on the hot water when you thought you were turning on the cold? Well, after all, most of us know C-O-L-D from H-O-T by now. But I've known lots of kids who weren't so sure, even smart kids. So I wrote one about hot and cold water. And if you don't mind my slightly hot and cold baritone, here it is.
Water that's hot, water that's cold. They're not the same, need you be told. If you can spell, then you will see, C-O-L-D or H-O-T. Don't turn the faucet until you have looked, unless you have fingers that love to be cooked. Water that's hot, water that's cold, they're not the same, need you be told. Water that's hot, water that's cold. They're not the same, need you be told. But if you can spell, then you will see. C-O-L-D or H-O-T. Don't turn the faucet until you have looked. Unless you have fingers that love to be cooked. Water that's hot and water that's cold, they're not the same, need you be cold.
A prediction, you will find the next minute of this program of particular advantage to you. Our offering of Florida, the Moon, and You tonight was occasioned by the fact that the Valley Company leaves tonight by plane for a short engagement at Mirth Wertheimer's Royal Palm Casino in Miami, beginning tomorrow evening. However, we'll be back here next Thursday with another great variety show. We hope you'll be with us. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
Tonight's music included Love Walked In from the Golden Follies. This is the National Broadcasting Company.